Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Moe. Hey yo, I am Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Moe, and as you know, every year,
yes,
we have a tradition.
That's
we
right.
Talk wrestling.
We do.
To do an April Fool's show.
Oh, I thought I was drinking.
So every year on April 1st,
right,
like clockwork,
like cockwork,
out comes the April Fool's show.
Yes.
Yeah, and this year there was a little thing. I don't know if you or anybody else heard about it, but
you're
it got in the way.
You're famous.
WrestleMania.
What was that now?
WrestleMania it was called.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, and it got in the way.
It got in the way.
So this year, the April Fool's joke is that the April Fool's show's up like a week and a half late.
Yeah, today is April 9th. So, haha.
Gotcha.
We got all of you.
You fucked up.
You all fell for it hook,
line, and sinker.
And sinker.
But we will go over the news first, because there's a lot of stuff that occurred. Where do you go? We just watched John Cena.
John Cena sucks.
John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. Go.
A big ass cock. John Cena sucks. He fucks the guy that has a chair. John Cena sucks.
Tell me what that means.
Because he is queer.
Oh.
I have a big package. And I would like to have my chair.
We just watched him with Chris Jericho.
Where's my chair?
What are your... We literally...
I'm very upset that I do not have my chair.
Came back from WrestleMania. I was sick as a dog.
Yeah.
So still got a little bit of that.
I'd like a chair.
What did you think of this Chris Jericho-John Cena interview that we just watched right before getting on the air here?
I thought it sucked. No, it was a fluff bullshit thing that Jericho was just... Yeah, Mr. Company line. Not asking. Look, have you ever used any steroids or anything, John Cena? No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's two guys who are very, very friendly, who are just talking, and this is exactly why they want Jericho and not Austin. Austin will challenge you. Jericho is not going to do that.
No.
Jericho, exactly. Austin is, you know, a hard-hitting reporter from 60 Minutes, and Chris Jericho is Larry King. Like, he's just, you know, just...
Lonnie's a bitch, Jane's a whore. Hello, Connecticut.
Pretty much. Yeah. Just, like, really, you know, we're just sitting here having a cup of coffee, chatting, friendly.
That's interesting, because, yeah, Larry King, it's a good analogy, because John Cena was actually both the huckster and the Nacho Man, all in one.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, so that's was it entertaining enough? Yeah, it's entertaining enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, there's so much company bullshit and so many lines that you're like, that's not true, that's not true. What? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Then you kind of go, well, and nobody's going to,
yeah.
It's not designed to in any way, actually. He's not designed, Austin is there, when Austin took it, he would do a lot of research.
I'm going to sneeze now.
Okay. Oh, that's our picture from Sharknado over there.
That's it, right there.
That's pretty good. Yeah, like that. It's because WWE and sci-fi have that strong relationship.
They do. That was what we were told.
Yeah.
And they don't anymore.
No. But yeah, what was I saying?
Doesn't matter. It was about the John Cena thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is. It's Austin was there.
He was.
To try and serve the fans' needs of getting to ask the questions the fans wanted asked and wanted answered.
Yes.
Jericho is there
to ask what the company wants.
To ask what the company wants and try and provide an entertaining little show.
Yes.
And job well done.
Did you hear about Fastlane's pay-per-view buys?
No.
42,000 worldwide.
Huh. So 10 times what a TNA pay-per-view used to do.
Exactly. All angst.
Mm-hmm. Speed Force.
Speed Force. Did you see that yet?
I did see that, yeah.
That's great. Just the way you said it and smiled.
Yeah.
They're great. The New Day, they're great. Speed Force.
Yeah. It's the Tyson Kidd on the WrestleMania Today.
I guess what happened, because I figured this out later, because I couldn't figure this out why they were only like 8 minutes long, is that on the WWE Network, the day of Mania, they did like every hour on the hour, like little 10 minutes things. Like they would go to the network for 10 minutes live. With Renee and all.
Because they did the ones on like the 27th and the 28th that are like the 2 hour shows.
Yeah, I haven't seen those yet.
Oh, those have the best thing ever. They have this is okay. They got Booker T, Corey Graves, Michael Cole on the thing, right?
Yes.
And they bring out Ric Flair, and they're talking about Ric Flair. Who's gonna win? Who's gonna lose? He's gonna. Have you heard about this?
No. Does he cry about his son dying?
No. He gets out there and. God, you're horrible.
Well, he did last year. That's all I was saying.
Okay. Well, but anyways, he gets out there, right? And this is amazing. He's out there, and he goes, I don't know who's going to win. You know, I know both these guys really, really well. I've known Sting for many years. He's a tremendous guy. And, of course, Triple H, he's my best friend. I don't know. But the problem is with Triple H is he's been out of the ring, you know. And ring rust, that's your worst enemy. He's been out of the ring. He wrestled 3 matches last year, once against Daniel Bryan, a couple with the Evolution guys there. He's not wrestling regularly. And Michael Cole goes, well, what about Sting? He hasn't wrestled in how long? And Ric Flair goes, well, that's not true. He's been wrestling down there once a week for the last 10 years. You know, Book, you were down there with him.
That's awesome. The only thing that would make that better is if Booker T went, down where?
And just see the absolute horror and panic on the faces of the other three panelists as he's doing this.
Remember I wasn't going to watch this? Now I am.
I watched this and I literally went, okay, this is why I watch wrestling, for moments like this.
Immediately this after so this show great. I'm going
and
to
And this
watch.
Is why he was, yeah, I mean, they're not going to, this is why they don't want him on TV.
Yes.
Don't let him talk. Oh, it was so great. It was so great, especially Michael Cole. Just utter panic. So, yeah, all right. There's an April Fool's joke for sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic.
All right, so what do we got? What do you think of the Raw is War episode from this last week? Excuse me while I go cough.
I'm trying to remember what happened on the... Oh, good. At least you were quiet about it. Thank you for... blowing everybody's ears off.
You're welcome.
Okay.
That's not like you usually blow.
You know what I thought what I needed?
It's not ears.
Last week when we were watching.
Yeah.
And we were there live. Totally live.
Totally live.
Doing the wave.
Yes.
And what...
I was doing the wave this week too.
What I thought was missing last week that we got this week...
Oh yeah?
...was two Ryback matches.
Ryback is the character that is most annoying me right now.
You know, like when I look at Rollins.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought Raw was, I mean, again.
Rollins or Reigns?
You know what? Every week. Let's just start off. What did you think about Raw? So I don't ever have to say this again. Let's just put this out of the way. What did you think of Raw this week?
Yeah.
3 hours is too long. Because that is just everything.
That's
so if I take the 3 hours is too long, if I talk about Raw on a bell curve scale here where it's already fucked up because it's 3 hours. Like it automatically sucks because it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
But as far as Raws go, what I liked about it was I liked Neville and Rollins.
Yeah, I like a lot of backlash to that, but I like that.
Well, that's Extreme Rules now.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But I thought it was... I mean, I thought it was an interesting choice for him to come out on week two.
Yep.
Well,
I mean, I was thinking about Shelton Benjamin, Taka Mikanocho, Taka, But Shelton Benjamin, Chris Jericho, they all came out and challenged Triple H when they weren't anything. I think they all won, but or maybe they didn't quite win, but they just had competitive
Shelton
matches.
Won.
Shelton won.
I think I remember texting you that.
Actually, didn't Jericho win in this when they did the Dusty finish? And Taka almost won?
Taka almost won. Shelton did win. Shelton did win.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I was texted you or my buddy Jeff.
I would have been before, I think. We were. This would have been like the late 90s,
yeah.
Right? So.
Well, no. This was 2000-something.
No. Jericho was...
No, I'm talking about Shelton.
Oh, Shelton. Oh, yeah. It might have been me.
Just saying, so, like...
That was the late 90s when we weren't in touch. Those were the golden years.
The Attitude Era. The Golden Age.
That was the best time
but
of
I think
my life.
The thing was...
Well, 90s... It really wasn't that long, actually. We weren't in touch. Now that I think about it.
I know.
It's like weird. It was like 97... we were. 98? No. 99? No. 2000? No. Like 2001, I think.
No, it was
2002,
like,
probably. 2003?
No, it was like 2000.
Probably 2003.
Like 5.
Maybe it was 2005. Because yeah. I remember, oh yes, because you were like, I used to like John Cena. He was just starting to suck. He had just moved over from Raw. So it was probably 2006.
Yeah. And
Carlito, those were the golden years.
Carlito had the Spitzer Swallows t-shirt.
Yes.
Which I believe was the highlight of wrestling in 2005.
Probably was. All right, so what we're saying.
I remember texting that even though...
I'm the sick one.
Even though Shelton's going to lose, this match has elevated him.
Yeah.
And then he won.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, it's even better.
Yeah, but Taka had the same thing. He had a match where he almost won.
Yeah, Taka almost won. Rikishi almost won. Like, yeah. Hunter had that 2000, he had that run.
So I mean, to sit here and think that a lot of people are complaining that Neville lost in week two, and I'm like, well, he wasn't. Like, the only thing, there's a couple things. The point where he was supposed to be given the chance to speak,
yes,
and Rollins held it on him too long, yes, made him look stupid. I don't know if he did that on purpose or not, but that was not good.
Yeah.
But the match itself, he got in the offense, the J&J security... interfered.
Hey, got fucked out of a match, and yeah. I mean not to say
and
he
what's
was
his name?
Anyway, but...
No, they interfered. They didn't bury him. On commentary, they talked about how he had a great showing and whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, the only thing is that they shouldn't call him Pipsqueak, and then Curtis Axel on SmackDown or talks about how short he is. Just don't bring up the height.
Yeah,
like they Vince just can't fucking get over this.
No,
just don't bring it.
Don't. Don't
bring up the height. That's all.
Don't believe the height.
But I would have done one thing different. Instead of that second curb stomp, at that point I would have had Rollins start laying down to him again. Oh, I see you're the big boys now. You think you're something in NXT? You're nothing. You can't kick out of my curb stomp. Nobody can kick out of my curb stomp. Give him some time to recover. And then I would have said to him, J&J Security, let's give it to him again. And then have them come in there, and as he goes to do it, have him fight them off and give the red arrow to one of the two J&J guys.
Also,
and that way he would have looked like he has a fighting spirit, and people would have got a chance to see that move again, which is the key to getting him over.
Yes.
So that's the only thing I would have done different. But I don't think it was, you know, a lot of people are complaining about it, but I got no problem with
it. He also should have called him a son of a bitch.
That is always good.
But, so that was one thing that I liked.
Yeah.
The other thing that I liked was I actually am... it's funny because we just watched a cocksucking motherfucking bullshit interview with them.
Yeah.
But...
2 weeks in a row, Cena had like the best match.
Well, I liked... Yeah, and I liked this U.S. Open thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he even talked about, you know, I want to do it and I want to make it my own. I want to do something different if I'm going to be the champion. And he is. He's it's almost like a TV title.
Yes.
You know, where he's coming out and getting a different... And, I mean, he had a match against Ambrose.
Yep.
And then he had a match against Stardust. These are, quite frankly, fresh matches.
They are, yeah.
So, so it's great. I think it's... I think he needs to stop doing that stupid fucking stunner thing.
Yes, that looks awful.
But in terms of...
You can't call it a stunner.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Sorry, I think you should stop doing that Michinoku thing.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's
you
fresh.
That
it's good.
Thing?
Huh?
Taco?
I like tacos. But I think that like next week he could
burritos
come out and fucking Luke Harper could answer the challenge, right? Like there's enough guys on the roster that it could be different. And he's already got a match against Rusev at the pay per view that they've announced, so they're building towards it. It's fine, right?
Yeah, can he keep doing this indefinitely? I don't know, maybe not, but it's cool right now. I got no problem with it. I have a problem with, I tell you what I did have a problem with. Bray Wyatt is gone for a week after, and you know what? I was thinking about it. I'm like, the idea that...
I had a problem with that too, because I want to do the flash.
Well, partly, but I was actually thinking, I was like, it also made no sense that Undertaker didn't show up on Monday, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, it made no sense he didn't show up before Mania. But once he showed up, was that Mania 1? He should have been there the next night. He should have been there that next night to say something. It should have been just something like,
"Yeah,
the streak may have died, but the Undertaker will live forever."
Yeah.
And just but something like that.
The spirit of the Undertaker.
Just, he should have had something the next night. Because we don't know if that's his last match. I doubt it.
It's part of the intro. We don't know. No, he's going to fight Sting next year.
Yeah, I'm starting to think so, too.
Yeah, he's going to fight Sting next
year. Yeah, because that's what the crowd still wants.
Yeah.
So and I remember listening to Dave Meltzer going, "Oh, they killed that match. Now nobody's going to believe Sting can win."
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know, I was there that night. People still just don't give a shit. They just want the match.
Yeah.
So give it to them.
Yeah, just give them the fucking match.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it is. I mean, but what was I saying? Oh, yeah, but the Bray Wyatt, I don't like the fact that he's gone. And when he comes back, he doesn't... Like, this match was built up to be so important to him and it's to become the new face of fear, and like he really needed that victory.
Yeah.
And he doesn't address the loss.
No.
And he doesn't act like it bothers him. And then all of a sudden
wins and losses don't matter.
Cryptically talking about somebody else. That I don't like. So that's something that I didn't like.
Who's he talking about?
I can't figure out somebody who's very dedicated.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying. And I'm like, who is that? Other than
Cena was my
Cena, Daniel Bryan, but I don't see it being one of them.
Yeah.
Can't be Ambrose, he's been there.
Rollins?
Orton?
Do be Orton. Orton would make sense. I'd buy
Have
Orton.
They done an Orton Wyatt? It feels like they have. But...
No, they haven't. A feud? No, because he had Jericho, he had Kane, he had Bryan, he had Cena.
Yeah, I guess not. I'm sure they've had a match, but...
Oh, maybe.
I don't think they've had a feud. But, I mean, he could be there because he's been there a long time. Other guys like... You know, again, like a Ziggler, it could be because he's been there a long time, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, Ziggler's obviously being paired off with Sheamus, and Barrett and Bryan are all kind of in that intercontinental thing. I'm trying to figure out who else it could be, and I would think Orton's maybe the most logical because he doesn't. But Orton's already paired with.
Doesn't have to be now
with Rollins. Well, no, you think he's going to cut promos for like 2 months?
Not 2 months. It's Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I guess.
You need to move on.
I don't think this is a one and done between Rollins and Orton.
The Chamber.
I don't see
the title's got to be defended in the Chamber, right? And that's June.
Yeah,
May, June, whatever the fuck it is. So, I don't know.
I mean, obviously, a feud with Reigns makes sense because Reigns has nobody right now. Wyatt has nobody. But I don't see that whole thing about the dedication.
That explains why, he doesn't have anybody. And that actually explains why he was... I saw him kind of doing like the can-can, like the Rockettes.
Oh, yeah?
I got nobody. Nobody.
Cares for me. Nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely. Sad, lonely, sad, lonely.
This isn't that self-help podcast.
Oh.
Take it to someone who cares.
All right, what were we saying?
I don't remember.
That's about it on Raw.
AJ
Lee?
Yeah, AJ Lee is retired. Raw, Raw, there's one more thing on Raw.
Okay.
And
Ryback's bugging the shit out of me.
Well,
seeing him live, I saw how awful he was when he moves, and then his bad. He's like bigger than ever. He's big, as big as he was when he first came up with NXT, or maybe bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't move at all. He's got like no agility and scythe movement, and he gets blown up so quick. And then he cuts these promos where he just over-enunciates, and he's sitting there and never changes his look or his face. And I'm like, and people are cheering for him because they're not as bored of him as the other guys.
Yes.
But fuck, he's awful. Like, he's just not good. He's good in a tag team. He was good with Curtis Axel. Curtis Axel brought the personality out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is not good.
Here's the part that, and this is what I can't come to grips with, and it's really maybe a religious thing, I don't know. But we didn't get to see, it was one of the regrets from WrestleMania weekend, we didn't get to see Bobby the Brain Heenan. Because he wasn't there the day we were at WrestleCon.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing we talked about is, and we talked about with a lot of wrestling fans down there, is how just a shame it is that Bobby Heenan has throat cancer because he's the funniest
fucking guy in the world. Yeah, there's like the one, like take his leg, take his arm, but don't take his voice.
He can't talk, right? Yeah. And then it becomes even more exasperated when Byron Saxton can talk. I would like to put Bobby Heenan's throat in Byron Saxton's body.
That would be wonderful.
I don't want him to die, but I wouldn't be sad.
The thing about
Byron Saxton is the worst thing that has happened to professional wrestling this year.
Wow. I think there may have been a wrestler death in the ring that maybe you could say is worse.
Not to me.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, sure, it's sad that he's dead, but that's not the worst thing that's happened to wrestling.
That was a bad thing.
Do I? Yeah, of course it's a bad thing, but I don't have to.
You're dying. Who? Pero Aguirre. I don't know how to pronounce it. I can't say anything because I'm so phlegmy as soon as I start to say something. It just. Pero. What is it?
Aguayo?
I don't think so.
Don't you get that at Booster Juice? You get the Mango Surprise.
Yeah.
Or the Pero Aguayo.
Oh, okay. Junior?
Mm-hmm. You put a little Pero boost Aguayo. In there.
Yes, Pero. Pero Aguayo, Junior.
Yeah, he said Pero.
That is a far worse thing to happen to wrestling.
No, but you see, here's the thing for me. I've never seen Pero Aguayo Jr. wrestle. I never would have seen Pero Aguayo.
Yes, but Jr. then wrestle. Say Byron Saxton is the worst thing to happen to Addy in wrestling. Not the worst thing to happen to wrestling.
It should be the same thing.
Oh, god damn it.
I hate Byron Saxton.
I got appreciation for...
I would like, not like break my car if Byron Saxton was crossing the road in front of me.
You'd break him.
Make him humble.
When I... When I'm watching these WrestleMania Todays and he's on them, he's not so bad. Like, and he's on these panels or whatever, he's not so bad. But you realize at this point they're feeding him lines in the ear and he's relaxed and there's no pressure. And he doesn't actually have to think. Everything's actually written down for him beforehand what he's supposed to say. Those panels are very much lines, and that, except for Ric Flair, which is the problem, are very much lines written for them. He's not so bad in that situation. When he's on SmackDown, he's not awful because it's a post-production show. Same thing on NXT. He's not good, but he's not as bad. You know, he's not bad because it's a post-production show. They can clean it up and fix it. On Raw, and it's live, he blows donkey balls.
You know what? If he just blew the balls of the donkey, that may actually be okay. He blows, like, the entire donkey. Like, the anal glands of the donkey, all the way. Like, it's just so, like... Oh, this is a great match that we have here on Raw tonight.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not even exaggerating.
No, I know.
Like, this is the worst fucking thing ever.
But he wasn't there during WrestleMania. That had incredibly horrible announcing. So, it's the WWE's... That's definitely one of the weaknesses of the product.
That was one of the greatest parts about us going to Raw and going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Is we didn't have to hear the announcement.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the show was so much
better. Maybe that's why at Fan Access they took away the feature where you could call your own matches. Because, unfortunately, every single person would call it better than Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
And the pressure would be on.
It would be. They don't want to give...
Special pressure. Olympian over there calls a much better match than Byron Saxton.
Who?
Special Olympian.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, they just interviewed them for what is a swerve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
I fucking hate Byron Saxton.
How do you feel about Byron Saxton?
Oh, fuck. Like, they don't really put The Miz on TV that much. And I don't...
That I didn't like. The Miz and Miz now. Why fucked that up right away? And Dixie... I gotta blow my nose here. Excuse my nose.
Oh!
I said. Before, as I see the look on your face and your mouth open about to say something. I'm gonna blow my nose. Oh, oh yeah. Got this? You want this on? You want this on the?
No, I'm just giving you that so you get something. No, are you gonna blow your nose in your hand?
I can do it live on the air. This all is right. gonna be
everybody live. Live on the air. Mo is blowing a donkey ball.
Because I mean, after all, I put your snoring on last week, in the last show, right at the end. So people have to go all the way to the 4-hour and 20-minute mark
just to get warmed up
to hear you snore.
Yeah,
keeping me awake.
There's still no proof that that's me.
It is.
I don't this know. Is me.
That feels better. That feels much better.
Does that feel better?
It feels much better. What do you think of Bryan Saxton?
I fucking hate Bryan Saxton. Like, with every fiber of my being, I hate Bryan Saxton. Like, I would...
All 115 pounds?
I'm trying to think of what it is. We'll do this, I think, would be a good segment... next week, what I like more than Bryan Saxton?
Oh yeah. Well, what this week's segment? You were talking about Bobby Heenan. Yes. What did Bobby Heenan teach you this week?
That I fucking hate Bryan Saxton. That irony is cruel.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that what it taught me that Bobby Heenan has throat cancer, there is no God. That's what this taught me. Happy Easter. There is no God. Worship a rabbit. Hide some colored eggs.
It's all about the chocolate.
And kill Byron. That's what Bryan Saxton should be crucified.
Oh, no. No, he shouldn't.
This is...
You think he should be hung on Undertaker's symbol? Is that what you're saying?
I am on to something here.
All right. So, is that it for Raw?
Yes.
They brought up AJ Lee on Raw.
They did.
Why did they do that?
Because she's retarded.
No.
Hmm?
No. Oh. She's not. She's retired.
Oh! Well, she had that gimmick where she was like the biggest John Cena fan.
Oh, yeah.
So I was...
confused. No, I think you're getting her and Bryan Saxton mixed up.
Fucking hate Bryan Saxton. Like, just slammy. I would just like to take him, like, pound him over the head repeatedly.
Okay, so anyways, so why did they bring up AJ, though? Like, why did they do that on Raw instead of, like they normally do, just wish you well and that's it, it's done?
Oh, because they're suing CM Punk.
So, what is it?
AJ is his wife.
So, why would they bring
it
up?
So, they're showing how, like...
You know, oh, okay, it's just a PR thing.
I understand that one of their... They have Jerry McDivitt as their main lead attorney, and one of their associates is Ralphus. And he wants to come out and show them that they're good people. So, that's why they did that. They don't give a fuck about AJ.
No, they don't.
In fact, they loathe AJ.
Yeah.
Almost as much as I loathe Bryan Saxton.
Almost.
Almost.
Yes, they don't like AJ, but they did have her at WrestleMania and had her go over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I would have Bryan Saxton at WrestleMania, and I would go over him with that, they call that, the Bobcat?
Yeah.
Fucking hate that guy.
Yeah. What do you think of Bryan Saxton, though?
I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
Like, more than I've hated anyone in wrestling. Like... This is not quite...
Bryan Saxton or Vince Russo?
Well, I was just about to say, Vince Russo still wins. Because he was a plague longer.
Yes.
And the cunt...
What about Ajamley? Or Stephen... or not Stephen. What's his name? Mike Adamley.
Oh, no, I never... Mike Adamley was just bad and funny.
Okay.
But fucking... Bryan Saxton fucking sucks. And the cunt, I mean, she's still probably going to get
you're talking about Dixie Carter.
Yeah.
I should never be sick again.
That's what I said.
But I'm really sorry about the audio here this week. Look at this.
What a fuck. You know who should be sorry about his audio? Bryan Saxton.
That's true.
I think the cunt will still get the nod as being worse than Bryan Saxton because Bryan Saxton never put a drugged up wrestler in the ring. To have a match with Sting.
Well, that match went a minute and a half, if that.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You still don't put, put him out there.
They advertised it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, fine. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So that's okay then. That's never happened before.
You're right. Vince McMahon has never put a guy who's high on cocaine into a main event match at a pay-per-view, except for every single match in the 80s.
Stumpy.
Shawn Michaels, like, you can't.
Stumpy.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah, Jeff Hardy showed up in no condition to perform. The problem is the standards nowadays are that you're expected to be in a condition to
Damn
perform.
Damn it. Yeah, you know
Not
what?
Like in the 80s and 90s.
You know what? That's what I think of when I think of TNA standards.
And practices?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
WCW. So the cut will get the nod, but Byron Saxton is, that's what I said, he's the worst thing this year.
Okay, for you.
Fucking hate him.
All right, can we get off? Can we move off, man?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, AJ Lee is done.
Yeah.
Bye.
So you heard the story about when they started dating, how that created heat in the locker room when she started dating Punk in the first place?
Oh, yes.
You hear the story?
Yeah, you can tell the story.
Okay. Apparently, this is one of the things that made Punk really upset and AJ upset, too, but it never came up in the podcast. But apparently, there's, of course, this photo of Lita with AJ when she's, like, a teenager, and she idolized Lita. And, of course, CM Punk was dating Lita, and when he broke up with her, started dating AJ.
Right.
So some guy did up a cartoon with AJ riding... CM Punk was screaming out, "Call me Lita, call me Lita," because she idolized her and wanted to be just like her.
Yes.
And that went around the locker room, and the guys thought it was hilarious. It got spread around. When CM Punk found out and AJ found out, they both blew a gasket. And that was, you know, a couple of years ago when I started this. Mm-hmm. That's one of the notches. So that's just that little story there.
Yeah. He still calls her Lita.
Lita's much more attractive.
So AJ gone.
But I like how AJ was standing up for herself. And you know what's funny? Because I was talking about this at WrestleMania today. One of the things they did was had this extended piece on the Bellas versus the Nikki and Paige match.
Oh, that'd be
which
good.
About 80% of it was on the Bellas talking about give Divas a chance.
Yes.
And turning that into their movement that's their thing.
Yes. Which on Raw, which was Cameron and... fucking Alicia.
It's not AJ who, you know, Wow. They just rewrite history. It's the same thing this week, and I would recommend this to everybody to check it out. Justin Roberts wrote an incredible blog. Did you read this?
No, it's Justin Roberts.
Justin Roberts, former announcer for SmackDown for many, many years.
Former announcer.
Yeah, left this last year.
Current fuck.
Well, this is a tremendous blog. I think
who did he get to write it for?
I think he just wrote it for his own site, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And it's talking about how WWE twists stories around in reality.
He wrote it?
Yeah.
Like himself?
Yes.
Huh. He didn't seem that smart to me.
It's about Connor the Crusher. How do you pronounce last name?
McCulloch.
McCulloch. And his relationship with Connor.
Justin Roberts had a relationship with Connor. That's what saying.
It's okay. That's completely fine. It's not this, Rob Fine
just,
saying.
We talk wrestling exclusive here from Mo. Is at Mo _ We Talk. Is that Justin Roberts was dating Connor?
So anyways, he's just talking about how the words of the warrior were twisted to create this award, but how that's okay. And he's talking about how the story they're presenting to get themselves over and to get Daniel Bryan over isn't quite the truth.
Let's be fair.
I think it's very interesting. People should read it and judge for themselves. That's all I'm going to say on it. Oh, I do. It's really good.
The words of the
Daniel
warrior.
Bryan, basically what he's saying is about Daniel Bryan is that Daniel Bryan is a really good guy. And really treated Connor very well. But unfortunately, he actually, because he's so busy, didn't spend nearly as much time with him as what WWE would make you believe. And that's kind of, and that, and the stories about how they turned what Warrior was talking about and how the people who work there are really screwed behind the scenes and just let go and stuff like that. Like that timekeeper.
I thought it was something
like that timekeeper who was just let go. After all those years with the company, with you know, no recognition, no
Mark Yates,
yeah, all that stuff. Like it's a really good blog, and so I highly recommend it to people.
Okay,
Justin Roberts.
I thought you had said this is something like worth reading.
Fuck.
This sounds like something that we've known for years. and have been talking about for years. Yes. So what I would recommend, what I would recommend is that you go and listen to We Talk Wrestling podcasts from like 2012, and you can hear everything that Justin Roberts has wrote about like today.
You keep talking, I'm going
to
blow my
nose. To wrap this up, to summarize while you blow your goat balls, Justin Roberts, current Fox, former ring announcer, if you go to his website right now, you can read his recaps of We Talk Wrestling episodes from 2012. Did I understand that correctly?
That's correct, yes. Anyways, go check that out, please.
Now, what I enjoy is you saying they twisted the words of the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior's words are already twisted.
Yes.
No matter what.
That's true.
Yeah. And there was something about, I don't know, call it backlash that he had, or heat that he had. But
backlash?
I mean, backlash? But I mean, I don't think anybody, they don't fucking promote it or whatever it is, but I don't think it's any secret that, what is it called, Connor's Cure?
Yeah.
Like, Hunter and Stephanie started that.
Yeah.
Right? And he had this thing about, you know, you guys need to know that.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Who gives a fuck?
No. He doesn't really talk about that too much.
Like,
a little
like,
bit, I mean, but I think everybody knew that.
ISIS could have started that. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
It's a good cause.
Yeah, right? No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that it isn't a good cause.
I know.
What he's saying, though, is don't buy
their
hype.
We did the shows 4 years ago. I know what he said.
Okay. All right. All right, can we move on?
I would love to move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Because it doesn't sound like Justin Roberts has.
Fuck.
CJ Parker. He's going to move on.
He moved on.
He's going to move on. That's really unfortunate that now we have to go look for the new worst wrestler in NXT.
I don't think I would call him the worst. He had the worst gimmick when he first showed up.
Yeah.
That gimmick, that CJ Parker moon. Like, he had great music, but the gimmick, he was so affected and so over the top and in his babyface fire and trying to get the crowd to like him and his mannerisms, the people hated him. Then they turned him heel. He got rid of all the stuff that got him booed and just became a generic heel character who was talked and was better than you. He wasn't a bad promo. We saw him on the NXT, whatever. He came out and did a good promo. He's not a bad wrestler. He's tall. He's good looking. He's only 25 years old. He's athletic. He's got potential. The problem is when guys like this get let go, most of the time they bounce around the independents, realize they're never going to make it back, and move on to something else in life.
Yeah.
We'll see whether or not that's him. I'd say the odds are strong.
Yeah,
but a few of them do end up back.
I tell you, future EMT, CJ Parker.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'd like to say we wish him the best in all of his future endeavors, but I don't really care.
So that's why I'm fat and you're a dick.
Well, no, the fact that you don't stop eating is quite a fact.
Oh, fuck.
Have you read the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter?
No.
Oh, I just
it
like
just
to,
came out today.
I know, but I just like to read you something funny.
Oh, is it? Well, it makes sense because this is the story of, this is the, what do you call it?
April Fool's Show.
Yeah, Fool Me Once.
Yes.
Episode.
I know. You're skinny.
You're smart. Go ahead.
Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard did another debate. There were only about 40 people there, but we're told it was very interesting.
Nope. People of this episode or on this show may get a chance to judge for themselves. That's all I'll say. People who are We Talk Wrestling listeners.
Oh, yes.
May get a chance to judge for themselves how interesting it was.
Yeah, because we're going to put the audio up at some point, right? Because the person that is in charge of this was a child molester and we don't feel bad?
Pretty much.
That's about it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We recorded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great sounding audio, but then again, it won't be if you buy the DVD either.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm going...
I'm going to see if they're promoting it yet on his site. What's his site again? www.opportunityset18lol.com?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep. PhiladelphiaPredators.ca or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so go ahead. Keep reading.
Let's keep going with some of the news.
Yeah. I
don't want to know any more of that. We already said it. We recapped it. We were there. There's
40 people. It was interesting. It was interesting.
It was. We were talking about war.
That's fucking guy.
Okay, but along the lines of April Fools. TNA wants to get back to live pay-per-view. This is legitimately true.
Oh, boy.
That Slam a Motherfuckin'-versary.
Yeah.
May very well, I believe, June. May be on pay-per-view.
Okay. How much are they going to charge for it?
I don't know. But at the end,
I hope
they
were $9.99.
The last pay-per-view that they did,
yeah,
did 8,000 buys. Yes.
Well, if they drop the price to $9.99, I think they could get up to 8,800.
But speaking of TNA, it's now available in Canada.
Sort of.
On the Fight Network.
Yeah.
I remember when the Fight Network came out and I was very excited.
I remember too.
In like 2005.
Yeah.
And I got it.
Yeah.
And then I watched some of it and it became a bullshit channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had it. And then when I moved last time,
yeah,
I didn't get it.
No, I mean, I have it because I have everything, but that's because I'm, you know,
really fat.
Work for the company that provides it.
Yes.
But
on the company's YouTube show in Canada,
yeah,
TNA YouTube, before they announced the deal, they were getting 7,000 views to watch Impact on YouTube.ca for free. So 7,000 people.
So it'll be double what they'll get on Fight Network.
7,000 people willing to pay no money to watch Impact, and now you have to order it in a special tiered package. I believe it's supposed.
So let's
see. I understand it's a big package. Comes with its own chair.
You ordered the big package.
You ordered the big package.
So let's see what we got here. We got our Rey Mysterio 2015 shoot interview coming out from them. We got Back to the Future, or Back to the Territories, Jim Cornette and J.J. Dillon. I'll watch that. We got Young Bucks shoot interview. I'll watch that because I love the Young Bucks. And they got an interview with Jim Cornette, so that's...
what?
I don't know how they hooked that up.
The Young Bucks have an interview with Jim Cornette?
Face Off Trading Places. That looks like that's... I don't know who the fuck that is.
Let's see. That is Adam Pearce
and Hulk Hogan.
No, I don't know. It's on the top there. So like Gary Albright, but he's dead. What does it say?
It can't be. What about the other Albright? The one that was. Well, there's also Jim Cornette Q&A session.
What? Jim Cornette did something?
Yeah, no. Mm. No, I know.
Huh.
Something on Russia and Cool. Drew Galloway shoot interview. There we go.
Oh, who cares?
Something on the House of Hearts, House of Hardcore. Alberto Del Rio. FWE Women's Division. Not seeing anything. I gotta admit, I'm not...
Seeing anything?
Not seeing anything about the... Because, you know, if they're going to put it out, I'd feel bad if Bischoff and Pritchard couldn't make money.
Yes, I would feel bad.
Yeah.
Although Pritchard apparently now sells, works at a used car dealership selling Volvos in Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
With Haku?
I believe Haku lives in Florida.
Oh, okay. But he's selling, like, cars too.
Selling cars, yeah.
Yeah.
So was Hercules before he died.
Oh, well, really?
Mm-hmm.
What was Mike Awesome doing?
Hmm?
Wasn't he doing that too, Mike Awesome?
As far as I remember, Mike Awesome was just hanging around. Hear about Mania next year?
It's
going to be in Texas.
It is?
Yeah. Did you hear about the matches for WrestleMania next year?
Yeah. No, wait. No. What?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we all saw at WrestleMania the build for next year.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
And Hunter and Rock one-on-one.
Yeah.
Not a tag.
No.
As originally...
assumed by anybody with a brain.
Yes.
Let's just look at pre-orders. I'll see if it's in pre-orders.
Instead, not someone with a brain, WWE has decided to do this one-on-one, and that Stephanie McMahon would be the best option. I mean, I guess it's not going to matter, you know, to be honest. Like, this is going to be, I think we can already, you know how they used to have, like, WrestleMania 13, WrestleMania 2 was bigger, better, badder, or something? You know, they had the...
Yeah, it was something, yeah.
They've had some of those, too, with, like, WrestleMania 2000, I forget. They had nicknames for different WrestleManias, right?
Yes, they did, yeah.
So, I think this is going to be WrestleMania 32,
mm-hmm.
The work rate. You have Rock and Hunter.
Well, I didn't. Stephanie, how much did you think the work rate was going to be great on this Mania? It didn't matter if the work rate was great in Sting versus Triple H.
What? And Sting versus Undertaker.
Yeah, that's true.
But that was the one match that we knew wasn't going to be work rate.
And well, I wasn't thinking about the work rate in the main event. It was better than I expected.
I wasn't thinking Mean Guy match, though. Which is a different kind of work rate.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, how many matches have you watched where Reigns, where you thought, oh, he's good. That he was good in that.
How many matches have you watched with Lesnar where he beats the fuck out of people or that's himself? True. And that's what I was expecting. Yeah, that's true. Strong style. And that's what we got, and then we got better than what we thought, right?
Yeah. But we had the women's match. I wasn't expecting much there. No, I'm not thinking that.
But that's it. We've got three matches for WrestleMania next year already announced.
Okay.
So, they're ready to go.
They're ready to go.
Yeah.
I got no problem with Rousey versus...
No, I don't. Just there. I just... but it was...
what they should do is they should bring up Charlotte and have her be essentially the dominant force in the division and Stephanie's bodyguard. And make it so that Rousey, essentially, even though it's a one-on-one match, that she's going to be ringside with her and protecting her, and Rousey's got to go through Charlotte to get there. Because even if she does, it won't hurt Charlotte, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll still get the rub and come out of a bigger star. So
that's true.
That's what they should do.
Ronda Rousey has a new business manager.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Have you heard this?
No.
Oh, she's just signed on with Danny Garcia.
Oh, who's that?
That's The Rock's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Who's The Rock's business manager.
Yeah. They still get along well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the connection, I guess, that's, besides being a fan and the movie, which I saw it on Friday.
Yeah.
Furious 7.
Fastlane?
Yes, I watched Fastlane.
Fastlane 7?
Fastlane 7.
Fastlane 7, okay.
Okay. Daniel Bryan didn't win that one either. Just spoiler alert. But Ronda Rousey,
now I don't have to order on VOD. Good job.
That's true. Ronda Rousey has a small part in it.
Yeah.
It's not as big as Gina Carano's part was in 6.
Oh, was Gina Carano in 6?
Yeah, she was The Rock's cop police partner.
Oh, okay.
Who turns heel.
I haven't watched any of these since the first one. Okay. So
Gina Carano turns heel.
Yeah.
But
was she in this one too?
No.
Okay. Rousey, that would have been interesting, actually, if they had had the two of them.
Yeah. Rousey's just a bodyguard, like an assassin's bodyguard for a bit that has a fight
scene. So Rousey should be the bodyguard of Stephanie and Charlotte.
Yes.
No, wait.
Yeah, Charlotte and The Rock.
No, wait.
What?
Keep going.
Anyway, The Rock's in it. Not The Rock really isn't a big part. Again, Rock was bigger in...
it's all about Paul Walker,
and
6,
right? Yeah, it's a Paul Walker,
That's why the box office is through the roof, is because of Paul Walker.
Well, and the fact that The Rock is a giant movie star. He's franchise Viagra, don't you know?
So, what else you got for notes? Wasn't there something else? Something about sci-fi? Something about USA? We never really did.
USA! Yeah, there's a return of Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sans Steve Austin.
Though they tried, but it was the same time as he films Broken Skull Ranch or something like that, or Redneck Island, or...
Yeah, Broken Skull Ranch, yeah.
Yeah. So he already had a show, so he couldn't... Yeah.
So he couldn't do it. So I don't know, they didn't announce who was going to do it.
Who would you like to see?
don't know. You?
Probably Hunter, honestly.
I would...
Hunter would be really good there.
I was thinking Booker.
Nah, I don't think Booker has the... Booker's too... What's the word?
Nice. He doesn't...
Yeah. Like if Booker had been there when Cameron says... and asked Cameron what her favorite match is, and she goes, well, you know, this is my new passion, and it's Alicia Fox versus Melina. Booker would have just laughed and said, I think we can do better than that. And he would have moved on. Yeah. Or Steve Austin turned that into 15 minutes of the greatest television in the history of the world.
The thing with Hunter is...
And Hunter would do that. Hunter would have ripped into that, too.
Yes, he would have.
Because I've seen Hunter on Tough Enough before when he does show up.
Yes.
And he is like that.
Well, but here's the thing. When Austin did it, and does it, on Tough Enough, this is the biggest...
It's legit.
...star in the industry at one point with this passion for it. And when Hunter does it, he's playing mean guy.
He's working. He's still working.
He's guy. Yeah. He's playing mean.
You're right. He's still working. You're right. He's still working.
And that's the thing. And so,
I think if he had heard that answer, I think he would have gone off too and been pretty
sure.
Like, yeah,
but if you play mean guy,
yeah, I guess. But who's not going to do it? Who's not going to play mean guy? I mean, or not going to be? Who else is going to have that passion?
You know what?
And
you
be
do.
That real. I'm asking you for who is the guy who would act the who
I know
would
the
act
guy.
The same
Actually,
way
it's two.
As Austin did.
You need two.
Close to as good.
You need two. You can't have just one guy replace Austin. I think you need two, and they have to work in tandem with each other. And what you need, and hear me out here, is you need two guys. You need Ric Flair and Jack Daniels. Just get Flair loaded.
Well, if Flair had heard that and he was loaded, he would have gone off. It would have been great. You know, I think there's two other guys you could get who'd be good in that position.
I don't think any better than
I don't know.
Hear loaded
me,
Flair?
Hear me out here.
Nobody's better than
Addy and Mo.
And Jack Daniels?
Okay, three guys.
So they'll get Foley?
No. Foley, again, too nice. I don't think he's in history as a trainer. You know who else would be really
interesting? Well, none of these guys are fucking training.
No,
Austin's not training.
No, I know, but you know what I mean. I just don't think Foley's the right guy. I would think Undertaker would be great at that, too, because I think the same thing. He heard that answer, I think he would have gone off.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they still, until he actually announces a retirement, we're going to see him lift that.
He's going to protect the gimmick, yeah.
If he announces retirement, then it'd be fine for him to do it.
But who?
Not The Rock. Not Chris Jericho. I don't know.
Could be Chris Jericho.
Yeah, but that's not how I want. You know, after seeing this tonight, I don't want Chris Jericho.
No, I know, right?
You know, that's the thing.
I could see Chris Jericho doing it, though. Like, I could see Chris Jericho not playing... if he's doing that, I don't think it would be the pissed off. Because like
there's people who would be great at it, but they're not the big star. And there's other people who are the big star, but they wouldn't be great at
Jericho
it.
Jericho would just make fun of you.
Yeah.
You know. If you want to make a star, here's what happened in the original Tough Enough, is that they never capitalized on Al Snow being
Al Snow became
right?
a star, yeah.
You could make a guy.
Steven Regal.
I was just about to say William Regal is the guy that just jumped right out at me.
Steven Regal would be tremendous. Yeah.
If you get yourself a pair of boots, at least you look like a wrestler.
Yeah, no, he would be great at it. He would, if he had heard that, I think he would have been almost as entertaining as Austin. He would have gone off on her in a different style.
Yeah.
But he would have gone off on her.
You miserable little toe rag.
Yeah.
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 What the fuck are you even doing here then?
Yeah.
Like, I think, he couldn't capitalize on it again, because he has a match or two left in him, but truthfully, he's not a wrestler, but neither was Austin. As far as entertainment, that's the guy, that's my pick, Steven Regal.
Regal?
Yeah.
Okay. I would still pick, there's two. There's another one. Because there's Loaded Ric Flair.
That's loaded Ric Flair.
Loaded
good.
Ric Flair.
Well, you can just say Ric Flair. The loaded is assumed.
Yeah, it's true. So that's number one.
Okay, so they have number to pay
three,
his bar tab to be on the show.
Number three is Regal.
Yeah.
Number two, better than Regal. Not maybe as good as loaded Ric Flair, but better than Regal.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Actually, I have somebody in mind. I don't think it's the same guy, but I think that I have somebody who
would be great. I think you should have the same guy because it'd be great.
Okay, go ahead.
Freight Train.
No, you know who legitimately would be great?
What's your favorite match, Melina and Alicia Fox? I think that was a very good match, too.
You know who would be great? Huh. No, you know who would be tremendous there?
Addy?
Well, yeah, but you know who would be tremendous there?
Oh, Addy. Yeah, Jim Ross. Jim Ross would be...
And I'm holding up my shirt with all the Jim Rosses saying, seriously, Jim Ross knows the business. He's not afraid to call somebody out like stupid. He's not afraid to speak his opinion.
Yeah.
He has a presence and charisma. Actually, I put him ahead of Regal. I think he'd be my number one. I think if you get Ross in that position and he had answered that, he would have been the same thing. Would have been, my God, that's what you come up with? We have all that out there. We have Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat out there. You can have Jerry Briscoe versus Dory Funk Jr. in the 70s. And you come up with Melina versus Alicia Fox? Gee whiz, what the hell is wrong with you? That, you know, it would be great.
And then she comes over
and she
smokes Austin. and Austin is out cold. And Ross goes, you knocked out my boy! You know, actually, I just came up. I have someone better than Jim Ross.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, yes, Jim Ross. That, Jim Ross would be so good.
I present
Jim Ross. Jim Ross, as much as Jim Ross is beloved, people don't understand fully.
He's a dick.
He's a bit of a dick. He's a crotchety old man.
Yeah.
He's actually a very kind of like, yeah.
I present to you a better option.
He's a chain-smoking, bitter old man, and it's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Paul Heyman.
Oh, fuck. Well, that would be... Yeah. Okay, now you're right. I'll go Paul Heyman, number one.
Yes.
Jim Ross, number two. William Regal, number three.
Paul Heyman, number one. Loaded Ric Flair, number two.
But Paul Heyman would be... Paul Heyman, the look on, I could see the look.
Yes, exactly.
When he gets that. I could just see, I could.
And the promo he would cut.
It would be yeah. Yes. Okay. He might have been better than Austin.
Yeah, that's true, right? Actually.
I mean, yeah, that'd be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you go get me a drink?
No.
Can I go get a drink?
Fuck off.
Okay.
Extreme Rules.
Yep.
We got Cena and Rusev, Rollins and Orton.
I'm going to step out of the ring room just to blow my nose.
And get a drink?
Maybe.
Okay, so I'm going to keep talking about Freight Train.
Okay.
Just keep
telling me about some Extreme Rules as Freight Train.
Okay. We're going to have some good matches. We got Brian and Dan and Barrett. Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett. I can't understand why we have this, but... But we do, and it's going to happen. Why it's going to happen again, I don't know, because I don't see why you wouldn't have Daniel Bryan against Sheamus after all that. But apparently not. I just seen in Rusev, as we said, so they might have a. I mean, they're gonna have steps because this is Extreme Rules, so everything's got to be taken to the extreme. And you gotta have all these other cocksucking motherfucking stipulations, which is okay if you're gonna do. I mean, quite frankly, if you're gonna do WrestleMania rematches or rematches in general, like you're gonna do Cena Rusev, you're gonna do Orton Rollins, you might as well slap a motherfucking stip on that bad boy, you know. Roman Reigns is gonna fight the fucking Big Show. That is gonna suck. Or it's going to be Reigns and Ryback against Show and Kane. Oh, in that case, now it's going to suck.
Have you got that Lucha gimmick you got?
Somewhere.
Where's that Lucha gimmick, the bottle opener?
I don't know if it's here.
No?
I don't know if I brought it in here.
Because this isn't a twist off, I found a beer.
Yeah, a bear.
What?
What? You found a bear?
I did. Why did you find a...
You find two bears?
No.
What?
one beer.
Okay, what? For me, okay, I'm going to get you a bottle opener.
Well, where were you then? I'll just talk about right where you were.
Talk about the stips that you think could be for Cena versus Rusev.
Oh, that's good.
And why Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett is stupid.
Well, he just assumes I think that, but he assumes correctly. I mean, because you know what? The Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett, theoretically, if you play the story up right, from throw out all the bullshit, throw out the cartoonish Looney Tunes chase for the title that led up to the ladder match, throw out Ziggler versus Bryan and Barrett attacking, throw out all that. That doesn't matter. The storyline that you can tell that sells this is the idea that they were on NXT together. Wade Barrett there was the chosen guy. Daniel Bryan was there and buried from the start. Wade Barrett came out of it, feuds with John Cena, does extremely well, is set up to take up, coming off of that, set up to take on The Undertaker at WrestleMania. The match never happens. Set up to take on his Nexus versus Punk's Nexus, never really occurs. And Wade Barrett goes from the guy that comes out of NXT with all the momentum to Daniel Bryan being the guy who comes out of the Nexus and the NXT as the guy who's fired, who ends up becoming the world champion and ends up surpassing the guy he never should have been able to surpass so much.
Surpassing?
How do you use this thing?
What? Oh, it's lucha, so it works backwards.
Oh, it works the right leg instead of the left leg, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the storyline. Like, if you play up that, Wade Barrett has so much reason, and Daniel Bryan has his reason also to want to protect himself because he was always the better guy, but Barrett was their chosen guy coming out of Bennett, and you play up the Barrett, you play up that backstory, you can build up a great interest in this match. And you know, backstage interviews and a lot of, like, just build it up like a fight, and these why these guys have something. They both have something to prove, and this is why. Is what you do. Instead, what you got is a guy who's been presented as a joke against a guy who's just your friendly champion who's not as popular as he once was.
I have a question for you, because I was gone for a second there.
Yeah.
Did you do any racial slurs while I was gone?
Lucha, lucha, lucha. Ah,
okay, well, those are allowed.
Oh.
But I'd get worried because I'm leaving you alone.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I also, you missed, well, the other point that I made is, I don't know why it wouldn't just be Bryan against Sheamus.
Because Sheamus against Ziggler or a four-way match.
Or a foreskin.
Yeah, but this is it. I mean, yeah, I mean, because that way you save the match, the Bryan versus Sheamus.
Did you notice Sheamus's promo was designed for people to chant, "You look stupid"?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So I also thought
I'm looking at that picture right over there, signed by him.
Yeah, and it's not that far off, is it?
No, it really isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
true. So, along with Alberto Del Rio.
And CM Punk.
And CM Punk.
So he's the lone survivor of the three pictures we got from Royal Rumble.
From Royal Rumble 2013.
Not even 2 years ago. Not even 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, over 2 years ago. It wasn't this past Rumble. It wasn't a Rumble before. It was a Rumble before.
Was it? Was it that? Yeah, you're right.
It's when WrestleMania 29 it was leading to.
You're right.
Not 30, because 30 was...
It was just a little over 2 years ago, though. But it was less than 2 years before he was the only survivor.
And let's just go there right now when they're talking about... Cena was talking about how...
Cena and Rusev, by the way, obviously just a submission match, I quit match.
Yeah, or last man standing or something, yeah.
No, just that other thing.
I quit, yeah, that could work. Cena said, you know, the fans clamor for change.
Yeah.
And then they're given company-presented change and they don't like it.
Yeah, that's what he said on the Jericho podcast. Because he's a fucking idiot.
Well, because, and then I just thought of this now. We talked about, we just mentioned this.
Well, as soon as he said that, we're like, you don't even see the own flaws in your own.
Yeah, in the words you just said. But here's what I just thought of. Like, because we went to the Royal Rumble three Royal Rumbles ago.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
What?
What?
Go ahead.
Roman Reigns.
I haven't actually started drinking my beer yet.
Roman Reigns won this Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Batista won it last year, and Cena won it the year before.
Good point.
Like, you talk about change. Like, basically the same person won the Royal Rumble 3 years in a row.
Three guys that are very much hand-picked company guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Trying to think, there'll be a bitch match.
The Cena one, woman's match, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're not in it. Or are you?
I'd like to get rid of the word divas. I like watching the, Trish Stratus versus Lita.
So you'd replace it with bitch?
And call them the women championship, you know. And just get to some real wrestling. Get rid of the Bellas.
Let's get some wrestling.
Yeah, let's get some wrestling. That was actually part of it was you know, Cena was talking about why he's not as popular. And it's like, they want blood and profanity. Like, and this is what he thinks and Vince thinks that they want that they can't give them, this is where they're really missing the boat. Yeah. The fans aren't screaming for blood and profanity. How much blood and profanity is in NXT?
Yeah.
And that's what they want. They want it presented like a real sport. They want long-burning feuds. They want injuries that are sold. And they want great wrestling and athleticism. That's what they're clamoring for.
Like the women in NXT. Doesn't get that. Like the chicks in NXT.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Sasha Banks versus Charlotte in that 4-star match. You know, the second best match we saw of the weekend.
4-skin match.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the timeline of events with Seth Rollins?
Yes, I did, yeah.
So, a couple days in advance.
They decided, but he didn't know.
Well, yeah, he did. Okay. Brock Lesnar knew when he signed his deal.
Brock did, yeah.
And
Reigns knew.
And Reigns and Lesnar, they were all working stuff out closer to. So, a couple days.
Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of the wrestlers were really... defensive about Roman Reigns not winning. And they were bitter about the fans.
And a lot reaction. Of his family members. Especially his dad, who we got an autograph from.
Yes.
At Fan Access.
Well, things kind of started out... Well, okay, here's the thing. Samu wasn't invited to the Hall of Fame. So that got the...
Well, because he had a shot in the WWE and was one of the biggest assholes they ever had.
Who?
Samu. And think about that. He was a guy with potential, and a Samoan with potential in the WWE. Was with the, what do you call it? The Legacy group?
No.
Isn't that...
Samu.
Who am I talking about then?
Manu.
Oh.
The guy your sister dated.
They're not the same guy?
They are.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm getting at.
All right.
Samu and Fatu, the head shrinker.
Oh!
Who? Rikishi going to the head shrinkers.
Oh. Was he a Samoan?
Still is. Oh. Still is.
And he wasn't Manu? How could I possibly get the name Samu and Manu mixed up?
Well, you're stupid.
Go ahead.
But Samu was not invited to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So Alpha wasn't happy because that's his son.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, he wasn't happy because that's his son. You know who wasn't invited? Brian Christopher and Scotty Tuhati.
Yes.
You know who else?
Who's that?
Rick Steiner.
Yes.
Or Scott Steiner.
Again. Scotty.
Scott Steiner. So we'll have to get into those two stories. Will. Yeah.
But Sika wasn't happy either. Neither Alpha or Sika. They weren't happy.
Yeah.
Then the WWE...
They seemed fine when we got their autographs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But they're then
probably just happy to meet us.
Well, that was what I thought, is that they were probably in a bad mood until they met us. Then WWE invited Samu to try to smooth things over. Mm-hmm. But then...
what about Manu? Did they invite Manu?
Everybody was like, he was there.
Huh. How about that? I thought he was a dick.
Yeah. And then Sika...
That was Cena that was a dick. Sika, she was a porn star. Remember her?
You're thinking of Ric Flair.
Oh. Sika? Porn star? Real blonde hair.
Yes. Yes. What?
So anyways, you're saying...
I'm
on an incognito tab in case I'm surfing porn. Don't worry.
I remember. Yeah. Then Sika was pissed... over the top pissed when Roman Reigns did win the belt.
Yeah. Even though that was the right, yeah, who cares what you expect? It's the right move.
Yeah,
is it the right move for business is more important than whether or not it pisses you off.
Yes, yes, but now it's. I mean, now they're talking about Reigns maybe going heel because of the imbalance of stuff, right? So,
well, they need one more heel still, for sure. But right now, I don't know if it's the right time to turn him heel. Actually, the time was before Mania, not now.
Where he's, I think he can do it now. Right? And, hey, let's talk about our friend. Hi, my name is.
What?
My name is.
What?
My name is.
Twin Blady.
Twin Blady. He asked us. He, what Twin Blady did was he enjoyed your idea for the Shield triple threat.
Yeah.
For the title.
I know.
So he would just ask you to book it.
What?
What's the heel face dynamic? Who goes over? How does it work? His question was, does Ambrose win the Rumble?
It would make sense for Ambrose to win the Rumble. Like I say, Ambrose is the guy who's kind of the forgotten Shield member right now.
Yes. Strange.
How long does the Rollins hold the belt as part of this, right? I mean, it's all building to Rollins' rematch with Lesnar. I mean, he's going to get past, I think, Rollins. He's going to get past Orton. He's going to get past whoever they find next, Daniel Bryan or Roman Cena or whatever. Roman, yeah, he's going to get past, I meant to say Rollins.
They're the same.
Pretty much. But he's going to get past these guys because the money match is Lesnar.
Yes.
Him getting past Lesnar makes no sense. On the other hand, I'm not sure it makes sense to put the belt back on Lesnar. Like, because Lesnar doesn't have, he might have one or two more TV dates, but he doesn't have more pay-per-views. He still has only 4 a year.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what I look at, is that they've done the whole Lesnar's a champion and gone away.
Yeah.
They've done that. It didn't really work, because they didn't capitalize it on how they should, but I don't know that you could do it again.
Yeah.
Like, they had a shot to do it once, and they didn't really do it well, and I don't think...
I don't know. Think
you'd do it again.
So, I kind of think... Like, that's the problem with Lesnar, is he really has to be the champion. He's the most over guy. He's the guy who will sell the most network subscriptions. He'll sell the most shirts, even if he's not there, if they make that Suplex City shirt.
Yes.
Especially
if it says bitch
on it. He has, yeah, really. And it's true. Like, he has the chance to be the biggest money maker in this company in many years.
Many, many years. It should be many years.
On the other hand, seems odd. Like,
this one,
how do you possibly, let me tell you that story about that. I went to this bar one time.
Yeah, you told it. Let's go.
Okay. I'll tell you off air. Maybe I'll tell it next week when we have more time.
Oh, we have more time?
I hope so.
Okay.
Because it's a good story.
Oh, good.
Where was I?
I don't remember.
But yeah, I mean, it's like Lesnar, as champion, can't really do. On the other hand, he cannot not be champion because he's been put in that... He's no longer a special attraction. He's been put in the world championship picture.
Yeah.
And maybe one time he can try and not get it, but he can't try two times in a row and not get it.
No, that's true.
And so I you know, this is kind of... Like, this whole thing's a mess. So that's kind of where I... That's what makes... Booking this,
you
difficult.
You need someone, okay? You need to have someone that can come and... Like, you need someone... you need a strong heel, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know who that's going to be at this point, because I don't see any.
No.
You need to build a strong heel.
Oh, Big Show.
Oh, of course. Or Kane.
Yeah. Who's going to turn babyface?
You know what? Yay. I'm kicking myself because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
But what you need a strong heel, that you, somebody you can build strong until August, right? And that's the person that will fuck Lesnar.
Yeah.
So he doesn't win the title. And that can go on and feud with Lesnar so that he's out of the title picture. Because you're right, he can't do it two times in a row. So
that feud can't last forever. So I mean, when that's over, then he's got to go back in the title picture.
Maybe, Maybe. Or does that title picture involve entering the Royal Rumble and going through 29 other guys to get his goal, not winning, and then he's got a different Mania match? Because the Mania matches can be a title match, a Rock match, and a Lesnar match, and a Taker match. You know what I mean? Like it can
be. I know,
that's how I would do it. Yeah. To keep him away from it, in order for, to Blady's question, for this Shield triple threat to happen. Because that's what we're booking right now, right? So what the problem of the Shield triple threat is Brock Lesnar, and what do you do with Brock Lesnar?
That's one of the problems. The second problem is that only one guy wins the Rumble. There's two times they've had triple threat matches and that made sense. Right. I don't want a dual winner of the Rumble. We've had that a couple times.
Co-winners?
Already. I don't want that happening again. It's happened a couple times already.
But you know what your mother is.
One time on purpose, one time by accident.
You know what your mother is, though, right?
What's that?
A skank.
Yeah. Well. Which means a baby face would have to, ahead of time, cast in that way.
Yes.
That would be the better way for
Roman Reigns.
Or Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns does that.
Roman Reigns is a baby face. Ambrose is a baby face, and just one heel.
Well, let's just say.
See, the problem with this is, I think if you're going to do this, I do think then Reigns has to be a heel. I think it has to be a heel, a baby face.
Heel face?
I mean, I think Ambrose actually is one of the guys who could be turned heel, and I think it would be effective right now because he is very much just sitting there, and he'd have a reason to be the bitter one who could turn and. And
I think Roman Reigns has the reason to be bitter.
Well, I mean, both of them do.
And cheer on the fans.
But he's the guy who's like the forgotten, like I say, he's the forgotten Shield member. So him turning, and I think he'd be an effective heel. But I also think he'd be the most effective babyface. So, I mean, I would rather have him be a babyface. You only want one babyface in the match. That's my thing.
Yes,
if Reigns is in the match, Rollins is in the match,
yes.
and Ambrose is in the match, the most cheered guy will be Ambrose, followed by Rollins. Followed by Reigns.
Yes, so.
And that's not going to change over the next year. And Reigns would be still their pick guy and the babyface. So that's the problem. If you turn him and Ambrose is the most cheered and Rollins is second most cheered, you can work with that.
Well, here's the thing. For this scenario to work, Rollins stays the champion. Okay.
I just don't see that.
I'm just saying for the fucking scenario, that's what you do. Okay. You have Ambrose win the Royal Rumble because he's a babyface.
Okay.
Okay. And you have, I don't know, you have 2 years in a row now where they've been.
You've had triple threats, like I say, twice.
No.
I mean,
but you have 2 years in a row where you've been fucked. For your Rumble.
But how did both times the triple, I'm just saying the triple threat for Mania, both times worked. One time it was a guy who had to beat somebody else to get in who was a legend and it was what the fans wanted. Storyline wise, it wasn't 100% logical, but because the fans were so far behind Daniel Bryan, they were willing to buy it. The other one, the one with Chris Benoit and Shawn Michaels and Triple H, completely made sense.
Yes.
It was very logical.
Yes.
And as a storyline that made sense. And that was the best one.
Right.
So maybe you just follow that.
Well, yeah. You can follow it. I'm just.
That these two have a blood feud that isn't settled by the time it's Mania, so they have to face each other. The other guys earn the match.
How did that work? How did the Benoit one work?
Benoit won the Royal Rumble.
I remember.
He was on SmackDown.
Yes.
Everybody assumed he was going to cash in against Angle because he had failed against him in the World.
Right, yes.
Against him at the previous year at the Royal Rumble. I think Sean and Hunter had multiple matches.
Yes.
Like a Hell in the or
Heck in the Sec. They had the Stairway, three stages of Hell match.
They both
got carted off.
Yeah.
They had a Heck in the Sec.
A Royal Rumble, and I think at the Royal Rumble, I'm pretty sure the finish was something like a double count out, or maybe 1-1, but it was such an incredible match, and it could have gone either way. And the point was, nobody thought the issue was settled. I still wanted to see it again, because the matches were so good.
Right.
So, that feud was still hot.
But they
everybody
announced
assumed that was the main event.
They announced
and then, and everybody, they were already talking to each other in the ring. Everybody's assuming
they're
setting up the main event for Mania. And then Benoit's music hits, and he announces, "I can challenge for any title."
And it totally made sense. And it was the wild card. And you could definitely do that. Just to have the idea of Ambrose winning the Rumble and have the Rumble match being Rollins and Reigns. And the idea that they're feuding back and forth for the title, killing each other, and the feud is not settled. And now he comes in and he's like, well, this is perfect. Let's make it all three of S.H.I.E.L.D. members. And people would buy that. And so I just think you could ape that storyline. It's been, what, fucking 13, 14 years?
I think what you do with the...
How many years?
What?
Is that 2004?
Yeah.
So 12... 11
it'll be years.
It'll 12 be 12 years. Years by the time.
I think you do... So I think you have Ambrose win the Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay. But now there's no what championship is he going to fight for. So you've got Ambrose versus Rollins all set up. And then just as they're about to do a contract sign or whatever, then that's when Roman Reigns is music. Guy. And he's got the briefcase, and he comes in and he says,
"Let's make this a Shield." If he's a heel, he can't do it that way.
Yes, he can.
Nah, heel can't do it.
He'll be a tweener.
That's a baby face.
Make him a tweener.
No, you can't. No, you can't make him a tweener. He'll be the most booed guy. This is this is why, again, it doesn't need to be. Instead, what you do is you have the match of the Royal Rumble, and then you start off the next night with Reigns and Rollins fighting in the back. It spills out into the front. It spills out to the ring. Pull apart. Everybody, they're trying to get each other. They're going to kill each other. Then, and finally, they're spread apart. And Vince McMahon or Hunter or whatever is out there. You guys want each other? You guys got to settle this. And then Ambrose music settles. I got an idea. I'm supposed to face this guy. I don't mind facing this guy. Let's make the three-way for Mania. That's how you do it, I think.
You could do it that way, yeah? Yeah. Either way, I think it'd be a good match. I think that's the way to do it. I think that's the way to incorporate those three guys.
And then after you do that, then sometime within the next year, you do a reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Sometime by the end of 2016, it's a reunion.
Yeah.
Did you hear about my boy, D. Bryan?
What?
Who pitched to the WWE to have a match against?
Yeah, Nakamura.
Nakamura.
Yeah, Shinsei. Huh? Nakamura. Yeah, that's not going to happen. He wants it on New Japan World and WWE Network.
Well, he said it'd be co-promoted. Yeah, so, yeah. No.
Yeah. Nakamura said yes.
Hmm? Well, of course he did.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
It'd be so great. Now, the problem is, and just like JR pitched to the people in New Japan, their bookers, he said, what you should do is let Okada go over on loan to WWE. Yes. Go to NXT for a little while. He'll get called up to the main roster.
Yeah.
And because he's good looking and he's good and he's young, he'll get pushed to the top. And then when he comes back to you, he'll be an even bigger star.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just trying to think of who the Yuha Nation is going to start this week.
I think you're going to like him when you see him. I think he's going to be an excellent addition to the New Day.
Yeah. New Day sucks. New Day sucks. Wow, there's going to be another ECW thing.
What? Fuck off.
Yeah, a DVD or whatever.
Oh, okay, that's no big deal.
Baby butt wipe.
Yeah, Blu-ray.
DVD? Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Taking a trademark for the WWE on the term Suplex City.
Bitch.
And Baylor Club.
Ah.
So they're going to do the Bullet Club.
Baylor Club?
Yeah.
Balor.
Oh. The other names that they're trademarking are Super Friends Crew.
Oh, fuck. I think they mean Super Dicks.
I think so. Starcade.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh.
New Face of Fear.
Uh-huh.
Halloween Havoc.
Okay.
The Beast Within.
All right.
Anti-Diva.
Which was Paige's nickname in NXT when she was first there.
Athletic Diva.
That would be Charlotte, right?
I figured it would be Naomi.
Maybe.
Athletic.
Yeah.
Lone Wolf.
Okay, so that's Baron Corbin.
The Vigilante.
That's Luke Harper.
And WWE Nation.
That's WWE Universe.
I don't know. It's WWE Nation. Is it going to be Yuha?
What? He won't be keeping that name.
Hmm?
Yuha Nation?
Yeah.
Ooh-ah Nation. No, I won't be keeping that. Let's talk about the...
He changed his name to Scent of a Woman?
So Rikishi also banned
Ooh-ah.
Too Cool from being there.
Yes.
And because they had some fallout at some indie show like a couple of years ago.
Right.
And they were pretty bitter about it going on Twitter and everything. What do you think about that, Scotty Tuhati? And especially Scotty Tuhati, but also Brian Christopher. What are your thoughts on that?
Eh.
Okay. And also banned from the Hall of Fame to the point where his pictures were put up was Scott Steiner.
Okay.
Because apparently he had confronted...
Jennifer.
Jennifer Hogan. Hulk Hogan's wife at the airport. She said that if he saw him, he's going to kill him. And that Hogan and Jennifer went and filed a report against him, so he was banned from the building. We did see him at the RussellCon, and he was at nobody around him and looked like an asshole. But a scary asshole I wouldn't fuck with.
Yes.
So anyway, so he threatened Hulk Hogan, so he was security was told and even put his posters up to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. he has said that what he said to her is not a threat, but that what he went up to her and said that Hulk Hogan inducting Macho Man into the Hall of Fame is bullshit because they hated each other. Macho especially hated him, and everybody knows that. That's his story.
Right.
So, your thoughts?
Yeah. My thoughts are, it's a shame that Steiner wasn't there after everybody was clamoring to see him at WrestleCon.
Yes. What else? What else we got?
That's it. That's everything that I have.
Okay.
I got nothing. Do you want to talk about Vince McMahon?
Let's tell a few crazy Vince McMahon stories.
That's what I have. I have Mo talking about Vince McMahon.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I got a bunch of these, but...
Good point.
Well, I'm proud of it.
Sorry,
I'm supposed to be hooked up to your internet, and I'm having a lot of trouble.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Who's your internet service provider?
They're dicks.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about. There's the story where.
What's the story?
Vince McMahon. Who's supposed to go cut a promo, and is complaining how he has gas right before he gets out to the ring.
Pal.
Yeah. And then he gets out to the ring, cuts a 15-minute promo.
Uh-huh.
And when he gets backstage,
uh-huh.
First thing he says is, I gotta go change my pants.
Nice.
Everybody's kind of upset.
Why?
And then he looks at Pat Patterson.
Right.
And he apparently smells real bad, and he starts running towards Patterson trying to hug him. And Patterson's running away because Vince smells like shit.
Yes.
Crazy Vince McMahon story.
That's crazy.
It's, yeah. You got one?
I believe it.
Yeah. Here's one. This one comes from Cage Size Seats. Madigan's Misery. The adventures of See No Evil writer Dan Madigan in WWE are probably deserving their own section. Madigan had a crazier time than most. He was initially a golden boy in 2008.
Arnold Skolin?
Vince loved the dire sophomoric See No Evil, seeing it on par with the King's Speech or Black Swan. But Madigan quickly fell out of favor after pitching a strange idea in a creative meeting. Greatly misjudging Vince's mood one day, Madigan pushed the sensational idea of Baron von Bava, a Nazi cyborg frozen in the last days of World War II in a secret cave in the Swiss Alps. Madigan would elaborate to Power Slam. He suddenly was thawed out after 50 years, intent on carrying on the work of Hitler. Better yet, it would be later revealed that Paul Heyman, who, of course,
Jewish, yes,
would be his manager, intent on unleashing this Nazi monster of the world. Madigan also suggested that the character would goose-step to the ring, and then promptly got up in the meeting and began goose-stepping to show Vince and the rest of the writers how it worked. After Madigan finished pitching the idea, everything went quiet. Then after a few seconds of silence, a stunned Vince, in a rare moment of modesty and taste, slowly got up from his chair, put on his coat, and grabbed his briefcase, and walked out of the room without uttering a word.
Well, The thing is it that, what was the character's name?
Baron Von, what was it, Baron,
That's a real person.
Baron Von Bava.
Yeah, Baron Von Bava, that's a real person.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he was actually frozen in the last few days, so they'd be bringing it, like, it should be getting some publicity for this story, because it really happened.
Oh, okay. So here's a one. This is not actually a Vince. This is a Triple H story.
Oh, and, about his tiny penis?
From writer writer Matthew Randazzo. I remember being nervous the first time I delivered the script to McMahon dressing room where Triple H would dress. He never used the locker room with the rest of the boys.
Did he fucking go over?
When Triple H answered, I told him the Raw script and was ready for his review. On the first occasion, he grabbed the script, flipped through it, but did not read it. And asked me point blank, am I, going over? This is the first time that I delivered the script to him. And he did indeed win his match, so I said yes. He politely gave me back the script without reading it and said, that's, all I needed to know. And then walked back into the Vince McMahon locker room. A few months later, when Gerwitz had another weekend off, I delivered another Raw script to him on pay-per-view Sunday. And it was the same routine. He nonchalantly flipped through it and said, am I, going over? This time, however, he was to lose the match via disqualification. He would keep the title. I said to him, well, sort of. And Hunter froze. He said, what do you, fucking mean? Sort of. I said, you lose the match via DQ, so you keep the title. Page? He growled. After I told Hunter the page number this occurred on, he ripped that page out, threw the rest of the script to the floor in a rage, and slammed the door in my face. Needless to say, the next day, the agents meeting, the script has somehow changed, and Triple H now won his match. Cleanly. This was hardly an isolated incident.
Of course he did.
Comments?
Eh. Again, I think, who wrote that? Justin Roberts?
Fuck. Alright, here, there's, oh, the Florida trip. Dave Meltzer.
Who?
Noted an issue of the Wrestling Observer that Vince had, seemingly on a whim, decided that he would have an urgent meeting with the creative team. Vince, who has been known for somewhat erratic behavior, then demanded everyone fly down to his pad in Florida. This meeting was so incredibly important, it simply couldn't wait. However, as soon as they all went through there and got there after the long and stressful journey...
Got where?
Down there.
Okay.
See, that's what it says right there.
Oh, down there.
Down there. Down where?
Down there.
After they got down there...
Down where?
Vince suddenly decided he doesn't want a meeting after all. Wouldn't let them into the house, and when they arrived, they had to fly back to Stanford for another meeting with Stephanie.
Nice.
I
would do that. I would definitely do that. All right, last story.
No, I'm looking like I'm looking for another good one here. All right, Dave Lagana noted. If there's one thing Vince McMahon hates, it's sickness. There's no such thing as sick, was the usual response when someone would try to use it as an excuse. Vince is a workaholic, and if anything gets in the way of work, it makes him angry. He's been known to work up to 90 hours a week. Paul Heyman would joke that Vince would be at anger with his own sneezes. Perhaps he couldn't control it. Or it was because he couldn't control it. John Pierre-Meany would make similar claims in an interview with Wade Keller.
Who?
Dave Meltzer.
Who?
Has since confirmed that Vince was known for going completely nuts and yelling at people if they dare sneeze or cough around him. It seems Vince, in a bit of a hygiene freak and now lives in constant pure people's germs, contaminating him and the precious air he breathes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Here's a good one. Kurt Bauer recalled to Brian Alvarez. Kurt Bauer recalled to Brian Alvarez.
Brian.
How, after a meeting at Stanford one night, he ran into Vince in the car park and then was challenged to an impromptu drag race by the billionaire CEO. Reluctantly, Bauer came along with it, or went along with it. Bauer was pleasantly surprised his own vehicle, which wasn't a a patch on Vince's car, actually managed to catch up with Vince. Bauer then claimed that Vince's response to this was to try and drive him off the road. Frightened, Bauer slowed down.
I like how this sounds like you're not reading them.
Bauer slowed down. Let me get this straight, a shocked Alvarez then asked Bauer. You're saying Vince tried to kill you? Bauer responded, Vince likes to win.
Mm-hmm. He does. He's a wiener. Also a genetic jackhammer.
A genetic jackass.
Alright.
Let's remember Okay, this isn't the last one, but let's remember the one where... this is a story from... let's talk to Jimmy Wang Yang. Remember that one?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and tell it.
He's Jimmy Wang Yang. Japanese guy that dressed up like a Western guy.
Okay, but the story is that he was let go from the company, and wasn't wrestling there. Hadn't been there for a couple years.
Nope.
And he got some backstage passes to try and impress a hot chick he knew. And when Vince saw him back there, he goes, "Where you been, pal? I haven't seen you working much around here lately." Not knowing he'd been gone for a couple years. That's and they true. Got him into a match for a practice, until somebody told him. Here's one from Jonathan Coachman, saying that Jerry Brosco came up to me in 2001 in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and said he wanted me to run a football pool. $10 to pick all the games, and everybody did it. And I started on a Tuesday. It was a SmackDown taping. I'll never forget it. I had my own room, and I did interviews in it. And all of a sudden, two cops show up. They were very serious, and I said, "I understand you're running a gambling pool. You sold one to one of our undercover cops here. It's a felony in North Carolina, and we're going to have to take you in." So we're walking down the hallway, and we stop in front of Vince's office. And they say we should probably let him know because you're not going to be here for a while. We walk in, and it's Vince, Triple H, Stephanie, The Rock, Kevin Dunn, and Jerry Briscoe. I should have known that with Jerry in the room, something was going on, but I was terrified because I was 26 years old. The real cops proceeded to tell Vince they'd caught me in a gambling pool, and we need to take him downtown. Vince got in my face, and he was an inch away from my nose. He was cursing, telling me my priorities were bad, and spending company time to run a gambling pool. The entire riff lasted 45 minutes. At the end of the office bit, the officer said it was $1,500 to get me out. And Vince said, "Fuck no, he's on his own."
Yeah.
They handcuffed me and asked if there's anything I could put over my face. Vince threw a pair of sweaty gym shorts that he got stuck on my face. I walked out of the office, and the first person I see is The Undertaker. He looks at me with shock. And it was so real because no one else was in on it except for those people in the office. They walked me out, and all the fans could see me when they drove me down a mile down the road. I got a call on the radio, and they said to come back and pick up something. They turn around, come back, and everyone's standing there with Vince in the front laughing their asses off.
Nice.
There's also the story that Vince wanted to... This is about the time that Vince... What do you call it? Cena Nuevo came out? Yes. Vince McMahon at the time wanted Kane to start bringing a 3-inch or a 3-foot dildo. A 3-foot penis, essentially, to the ring.
Why wouldn't you?
What did he say? Let me see. He once drunkenly fought Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a single leg takedown.
Yeah. Another flight. This has happened before with Kingston and Jericho, both on there. McMahon told Kofi, "Maybe you'll get over one of these days." Kofi was going to let it slide, but Jericho told him to challenge Vince to earn his respect. Wow. After some back and forth guy talk, Vince shot in on Kofi with a double leg takedown, and after some scuffling in the aisle of the airplane, McMahon had a good laugh and left the plane.
Yeah.
He's done that before. Remember the time that he fought Kurt Angle? Undertaker woke up, thought they were really fighting, and then came up from behind Kurt Angle, grabbed him and choked him out?
And that was on a plane, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on a plane.
Like the snakes.
Vince McMahon, by the way, is known for his obsessive love of hugging people.
Is he?
Yes, legitimately. Known for obsessive love of hugging people.
I'm a hugger, pal.
Well, Bailey's got a future. If this is the case.
It's true, maybe that's where the Bailey gimmick came from.
Do you know what the name of Vince McMahon's yacht is?
Oh, I've heard this before. Isn't it like the big titty or something?
It's the sexy bitch.
Yeah. So I was close.
You weren't far off. You were not far off at all. Yeah. See this one. Shane McMahon told this story to Playboy.
Shane O'Mac. They actually acknowledged that on commentary.
What?
On WrestleMania. When they were talking about The Rock's Johnson and all that. And we all chanted Shane O'Mac because he's like, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me and my dad and his dad. And everybody chanted Shane O'Mac. And I think it was, I don't remember if it was Cole or Lawler that went, oh, Shane O'Mac chant.
So there's Vince McMahon used to, of course, tell stories to the kids. He told Shane this story, and he would tell it from, like...
The mountain?
No, he would tell it from... He would make it up himself, right? He wouldn't read up a story. He would make up the story.
He's
the creative genius, right? And he was talking about how Dracula was in the closet. So he opens up... so he goes... Vince goes into the closet and starts growling and yelling, having a battle. I threw a little furniture. Now Shane's really scared to death. Until finally his dad walks out of the closet. I said, son... Pal, you never have to worry about Dracula again. Dracula's dead. So
that answers...
he killed Dracula for Shane.
Also, that answers Stu Hart's question of when did Vince come out of the closet?
Yes.
So there you go. That's a twofer. So, all right. So that's going to do it.
I don't think so. I got some more.
Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling, at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Of course, WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. We are on Stitcher. We are on iTunes. We are on the TuneIn Radio app. And we're on ShowMe.
I seem to recall Artie Reynolds himself quoting an unnamed former WWE employee who said that when Vince was dreaming up the Katie Vick storyline, he would randomly shout, I screwed your brains out! And laugh to himself.
In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Okay. And then in Bret Hart's book...
Good night, folks.
And oh, this is a good one.
Stop talking!
Vince McMahon saw footage of Casey James wrestling in 2006 in an independent show and thought he was really good.